Jesus said, he said, do this as often in remembrance of me. You rise when you understand the way of God. Oh, hallelujah. When you know, you know. Listen, what you have seen, you cannot see. We should not fear. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's a system of atonement. That's what it's saying. You can engage the power of the blood of dominion and make up for that deficiency of the soul.
Romans 1, 16 to 17. All right. So we're going to read it in concert and we'll pick up the teaching from there. Hallelujah. There's a gospel that we've been given to preach. There's a gospel that I've been given to live by. There's a gospel of our Lord Jesus that the patriarchs preached. Amen. You know, I'll show you later today. There's a documentation of Paul's preaching. Amen. And if there's a documentation of Paul's preaching, we're going to read it. What did he preach? Did he preach human philosophy? Or he preached Christ, the power and the wisdom of God? We're going to read it. One of my assignments and one of the things I'm sent to the world to do, okay, is to bring the reality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus upon this generation. Is to let the world know that the gospel is not human philosophy. The gospel is not just obeying principle. No, the gospel is a revelation of a person. It is a revelation of the love of God demonstrated by the coming of our Lord Jesus. The Bible says, and the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Glory to God. He says, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. And to let the world know that the gospel is God's only answer. Hallelujah. He said, who has believed our report? Oh, hallelujah. Those of you following online, God bless you. Can we celebrate them? Amen. On YouTube, on Facebook, on Mixcloud, we love you. Hallelujah. Who has believed our report? There is a report to be believed. This is Prophet Isaiah talking now. Who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? Simply put, who has believed our message? Who has believed this word? There is a message. There's a report to be believed. He says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That means anyone who can hear this report and believe this report, to that same person, the saving arm of the Lord is revealed. That means the only way to experience the saving arm of the Lord, the only way to experience the power of the Lord, is by believing the report. Are we together? It's by believing the report. He said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. Can we continue reading together from here now? And when we shall see him, there's no beauty thou should desire him. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces for him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Oh, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our shalom was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his deaths. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his lips. Yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Just pause there. He said, yet it had pleased the Lord to bruise him. So Jesus did not die as a martyr. God bruised him. Why did he bruise him? He put him to grief. Why did he do that? He made his soul an offering for sin. Hallelujah. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Verse 11 and the last verse. Of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous one justify many, for he shall bear iniquity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Quickly. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed. Can we read together? One to go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. You know, last week we began to talk about the gospel as God's only answer. You see, there is the wisdom of God and there is the wisdom of men. There's a God's way and method of doing things. And you see, there's man's way and method of doing things. And I proved it to you from scriptures, back from Genesis, that every of man's attempt to solve his problems outside of the provisions of God will cause more problems and more discomfort. How many of you remember that? And that is very important. Remember, we're talking on the gospel as God's only answer. And the Spirit of God is trying to bring our attention to what really matters. Man, in rebellion, will always want to find a way to meet his needs. Will always want to find a way to get things done. But God has made a perfect provision. And that covers not just the forgiveness of your sins. You see, when we talk about the forgiveness of sins, there's an implication that extends beyond having your sins forgiven and being on your way to heaven. Am I going to delve into that? Glory to God. God has made provision. God has supplied answers in his one only answer for every area of our lives. And that is very important. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, we saw that after the fall of Adam, he saw that he was naked. Instead of running to God, what did he do? He wanted to make provision to cover his nakedness. What did he make? He made apron of fig leaves. And he was itching. Amen. Go and try it. Fig leaves itch. His attempt to solve his problem created more discomfort. We talked about Abraham. God gave him a word of promise. Through your wife Sarah, the seed will come. There was a word of promise. But you see, they wanted a human way of having an offspring. Sarah calculated. I said, well, I'm now old. Go into my servant and have a child, and it shall be a child. And that attempt produced Ishmael, that the world is yet to recover from. You understand what I'm saying? Who understands that? You know what Ishmael means? Oh, glory to God. So his attempt to solve his problem outside the word of promise produced bondage. God had only one answer. It was called Isaac. And Isaac was going to come through the word of promise. We talked about Noah in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, no matter how smart and intelligent you were, if you neglect God's only answer, which was the ark, you were drowned. You were either in the ark or you were drowning. It's the same thing today. God doesn't have two answers. He has one answer. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. His provision. What he made available through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That is his answer. Why do we preach the gospel? Because the world doesn't have another answer. All the poverty alleviation program they've been doing for years. Some of you started hearing poverty alleviation from when you were in kindergarten. Has it worked? Why? Money does not solve poverty problem. It doesn't. And I always like to say this. Poverty is not the absence of money. The beggars always have money before them. Excuse me. Forget that some of them have become sophisticated. When after 2 hours, they park the money somewhere and they have an empty plate. you come and drop again when they see that nobody's watching the park. Amen. But generally speaking, there's always money with a beggar. But the next day they are coming to beg. Have you ever thought about it? Why? Poverty is not the absence of money. Poverty is a disease of the mind. Poverty is a declaration, a mental positioning of inability, a mental positioning of defeat, a mental position that I can't, my hands are tied. A mental positioning of fear, that's what poverty is. What did Jesus say? He said to the poor, the gospel is being preached. That means the cure to poverty is the gospel being preached. This is not about us trying to sound spiritual. No, no, no. Go and look. Go and research history. Go and study the nations that had what we call industrial revolution. At the beginning of those industrial revolution, go and study the history of inventions and scientific advancements. What we call the major advancement in science. Major foundational advancement in science. Guess what? They are connected to men that have eternal life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Talk to me, somebody. Connected to men that have eternal life. So it's not just about being spiritual. The church must understand what she has. We have the answers. Oh, we do. What happened? The church got distracted. The church, at the point, got distracted and began to emphasize that, look, once your soul is saved, in fact, is it really saved? They say once you are saved, just make sure you don't lose your salvation and wait till you get to heaven. So our focus became heaven at last. Our focus became making heaven. You heard this expression, about to shatter somebody's theology. A Nigerian, no matter how bad our country is, if you're a Nigerian in South Africa, you can never beg to return to your country. Kai. Never, you can't beg. You know what Jesus said? He said, Father, I thank you because the ones you've given to my hands, nothing can pluck them out. Once saved, forever saved, yes and no. Amen. I've taught you before now. Yes and no. The no has an answer. The yes has an answer. So the church began to practice what I call escapism. Escapism. While waiting to go to heaven. They say, why are you doing prayer work? Why are you protesting? Is anything in this world? You know, somebody, there's somebody in this church, maybe he's no longer in town. He wanted to contest for State House of Assembly the last election. And then he was telling me how he met somebody, taught us a brother. When the person was done with him, not a brother in this church, amen. When the person was done with him, he was discouraged. So I was telling him, what are you doing with all these things? What are you doing? Trying to show him scriptures that he doesn't know. Are you still here? What we have is the answer. The gospel is the answer. And never make light of it. Never make light of it. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. All right. So, I just want to show you four things that we have in this gospel. Last week, I defined the gospel for you. I said, the gospel... Let me read it for you again. I said, the gospel is the power of the Father's love, demonstrated through the coming, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that leads men into right standing with God and brings men into dominion over the earth. The force of the Father's love, demonstrated by the coming, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Because no man can be saved if he doesn't believe in these three things. If you don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, you can't be saved. The Gnostics, the Gnostics, right? That don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. And that was the people Paul, John, the apostle, was writing to in 1 John 1 and 2. To believe that Jesus came as the incarnation, as the incarnate one. The doctrine of incarnation is biblical. The doctrine of, we call it a personification, right? Is biblical. That God took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood. John wrote about it. That is the gospel. But see, that is the expression of God's love. Demonstrated now by that coming in the flesh, by his death on the cross. The Bible says he was offered for our offenses. Oh, that is his death. He was raised for our dikaiosis, for our justification. He ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high and sent the Holy Ghost to carry out his mission on the earth through the church. That means until he sat, he could not send the rod of his strength out of Zion, saying, rule down in the presence of your enemies. Psalm 110, verse 1 to 2. Are you here? This is the gospel. This is the gospel. And through that death, burial, and resurrection, I'm ascension to sit at the right hand of majesty on high. Men are lifted into right standing with God. Men are lifted into the place of dominion over the earth, which was God's mission statement from Genesis 1. Have it together. In every man is the longing for dominion. In every man, oh, Paul said, we groan like a pataya. Oh, shakapaya. He said, to be unburdened. Liso brando skibaha. We groan to come out of this bondage. Talking about the limitation of the body. He said, the whole creation is in bondage. That's where he began it from in Romans 8. The whole creation is in bondage. They are groaning to be liberated. They are groaning to be catapulted into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That means those who have come into faith in this gospel have the glorious liberty. So he says creation is groaning. Who is going to liberate them? The sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God. Until sons manifest, creation will remain in bondage. And that manifestation is hinged on their revelation of the gospel as the only answer. If you think there's another answer, if you think there is another way, you will shortchange yourself. You will break the circuit of the flow of God's power to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what we have in this gospel? What do we have in this gospel? What do we have? I broke it down so we can go to the things I've just mentioned for in this teaching. What do we have in the gospel? In what I've defined, what do we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus? What has the gospel brought to humanity? Number one, we have a ransom. Oh God. We have a ransom. Yeah. We have a ransom. Listen, this is not elementary at all. Follow me. We have a ransom. We have a perfect redemption because of that ransom. We have a perfect forgiveness because of that ransom. Listen, man's greatest enemy has been sin and the consciousness of sin. That means any religion that doesn't have a decisive answer, I need you to follow me. Any religion on the earth that doesn't have a definite and decisive answer to the problem of sin is a scam. And by that, I mean there is no promise of the future. Even them, they know it. And that means if there's no definite answer, this is where Christianity stands out. If there's no definite answer to the problem of sin, everybody knows about sin. But where is the answer? Where is the solution? Some have cooked up things. They say, if you can do this, you can be forgiven. If you're good, outweighs your bad. And at the end of the confusion, they'll say, well, we don't know. Are you following me? Why? Sin separated man from God. And man, every man born of a woman is aware of that thing called sin. That separates men from God. That gives a man a sense of inferiority as far as dealings in the spirit is concerned. It gives a man a sense of guilt, condemnation, and inferiority when it comes to trading in the spirit realm. It's called sin. It will shock you that every serious occult and every serious religion try to explain a temporary solution to sin. Why? He's man's enemy. But thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God that through the coming of our Lord Jesus, through his death, he dealt with the sin problem once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. And God is now shouting from heaven, I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. Is somebody with me? In him we have a ransom. A perfect sacrifice for sin. Oh, kalaboko sayaba. Ondelike proskepa. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, 9 to 10. Because of this ransom, God is no longer angry. Because of this ransom, there is forgiveness. Listen, because of this ransom, God has sworn. He said, it will be like the waters of Noah. Liga boski brandoska. That I will no longer be angry or condemn you. I told you, his preachers are angry. God is not angry with believers. Look at this. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. And by the way, those of you that are extreme in climate change, you can see water can no longer overrun this earth. The earth was kept before you came. What was keeping it? The word of his power. This is the word of his power saying waters can never overrun the earth. So relax. There's no, they say what is melting and there will be flooding. let me not get distracted. Look at this. It says, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with thee, nor condemn. I said, it's not rebuke, wrongly translated. Rebuke is part of New Testament. Amen. The right word is condemn. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? He has found the ransom. Job 33 verse 24. Very quickly. Job 33 verse 24. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He has found the ransom. Hey, he has found the ransom. He has found the ransom. Then he is gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going to the pit. Why? I have found a ransom. You see, the penalty, the salary for sin is death. Do you understand? The Bible said the wages, you know what wages is? Meaning the reward for sin is death. If the reward for sin is death, the only answer to take away that reward will be blood. According to the setup of the universe, it will be blood. Are we together? That means the only answer to sin will be blood. And we see that here and there, like I said, in different religions of the world, and even in God's dealings with the patriarchs in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, you see his provision for temporary covering of sin. Because as long as there is no blood that will cover the sin, death will be in dominion in the nation. Death will be in dominion in the family. Death will seize the sovereignty in the land. So he made provisions through the blood of goats and bulls to make temporary atonement. It's called atonement. It means temporary covering of sin. Because when sin is plain, destruction is attracted. Are you following me this morning? It has nothing to do with, okay, now the good things I've done. From the beginning, there was no such thing as good things you do outweighing bad to solve the sin problem. Even before Jesus came, that was not God's method for solving sin problem. God's answer for sin was blood. He said, I have given the blood as an atonement for the soul. You remember that in Leviticus? As an atonement for the soul. So even from the beginning, there was nothing like, okay, the good will outweigh the bad, it will cancel you, or whatever is left will be your reward. No, there's no such thing. Even from Genesis, When Adam and Eve were naked, what was God's provision? When they walked in disobedience and did what they were told not to do, what was the answer that God brought? Blood. 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 No man can pay for his sins. In Genesis, the answer was blood. The Bible says God took the skin of an animal, warm-blooded, and covered them, and gave a promise that the seed of the woman shall arise that will bruise the head of the serpent. You remember? Which was the Christos, a prophecy about the Christ. And we see that. God has his method. Even when we journey to Mosaic Covenant, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. There has to be blood. Has an atonement for the soul. They had what they call Yom Kippur. They had what they call the Day of Atonement, once a year, where the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice. Okay, they bring two goats, the sacrificial goats and the scapegoats. He will lay his hands on the goats. The scapegoats will be led by the hand of a worthy man into the wilderness. Then he will take the blood of the sacrificial goat into the Holy of Holies and pour it upon the mercy seat on behalf of the nation. And for 1 year, Israel will prosper. Israel will prosper. By the blood upon the mercy seat. I know that they will prosper. Once a year. Once a year. I mean, the blood of bulls and goats had the power to cover once a year. It wasn't about, okay, right, counseling are wrong. No, blood was the answer. That means any nation that didn't have blood speaking for them, they were open to death and destruction. Why? Blood is the only answer to death. This is what we have in this gospel. That no longer the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of our ransom is the blood of a personality with an endless life. That means the strength of atonement that a blood provides is connected to the kind of life that the entity has. Glory to God. So blood, bulls and goats will cover for a year. But the blood of Jesus. No wonder Hebrews said he has obtained for us an eternal redemption. An eternal redance. Oh, glory to God. He is an eternal ransom. Eternal ransom. So what we have is not just atonement anymore. What we have is forgiveness of sin. Oh, atonement means temporary covering of sin. Forgiveness, the Greek word is aphesis. It means to separate the sinner from the sin. It means to forgive as though the sin was never committed. Peace is the gospel. Peace is the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, 12 to 14. Colossians 1, 12 to 14. Oh, hallelujah. Forgiveness. You see, to think outside this thing is to get stuck in the future. It's to get stuck now on the future. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. He said, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet means qualified us. Give me New King James. Just give me New King James. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. New King James, very fast. Oh, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks. This is the picture of our lives every day. New King James. This is the picture of our lives every day. All right. Giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That means you don't qualify yourself for this inheritance. It qualifies you. He said, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light? Verse 13. Oh, Rabba Koseba Lide Koskaba. Verse 13, fast. All right. He said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Who is going to deliver us from the power of darkness? Who delivers us from time to time from the power of darkness? Talk to me, Glory Zone. Can we interact this morning? Who? Talk to me, church. Who? Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? We have been delivered from the power of darkness. The day you heard the gospel, the day you heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus and believed in the gospel and received salvation, you were delivered from the power of darkness. You had your deliverance service. Amen. You came into generational blessings. If you are here in this place and you believe more in generational curses than in generational blessings, have a change of mind. Because generational blessings are stronger than generational curse. And the day you got born again, you were plugged into a generation of blessings. Into a generation of blessed men and women. And by the way, according to the law first mentioned, blessing was mentioned before the curse.
Yes, sir.
That means it's stronger,
yes, sir,
than the curse. He has delivered us and has translated us into the kingdom of his love son. Next verse. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. What? That is the effaces of sins. That means the blood is your qualification. That means you should no longer have a sense of inadequacies. Do you understand? That means your background and your past experiences should not limit you anymore. That means there's no more excuse. No more limiting forces. No, the blood has broken you out. His ransom has broken you out. Are you here this morning? He has broken you out. What is in Leviticus? He says, I've given you the blood as a ransom, right? As a makeup for your soul. As a makeup for your soul. As a makeup for your soul. Ransom there is talking about a cover up for the limitation of the soul. That is what he's saying. By the reason of this sacrifice, we have broken out of the confinement of human calculations and indices. They say, Jane, you went to so and so primary school. Your father is so and so person. You went to this university. You came from this socioeconomic strata. Therefore, this is how far you can go. With this ransom, we have broken those limits. Do you understand that? What did he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. You know, from verse 13, you can put it up. From verse 13, he began to talk about, there is no temptation that has come to you, but such as is common to men. But he said, in every temptation, God is faithful, who will make a way of escape. And then verse 16 shows us that way of escape. How to break out of that commonness with men. That's what he's saying. How to break out of that calculations, that indices, that thing they put together and decide your life. If all that thing that your mind's put together, this and this and this, this is how far I can go. No. So when you get to verse 16, you say, the cup of blessing that will bless, is this not the common union of the blood of Christ? That means through this blood, we have broken into the exclusive circle of the God. I wish somebody's hearing me this morning. Before Jesus came, there was an exclusive circle of the pantheon. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are we together? A man lived less than angels. Man lived even less than Satan. The hierarchy before the fall was God, man, angels, and Satan. But when Satan took the place of man, it was flipped. Man, Satan, angels. Sorry. God, Satan, angels, and man. And there are many scriptures to prove that. What happened in Genesis was Adam handing his authority to Satan.
Yes,
why was Satan able to appear before God with the sons of men in the book of Job? Job lived after Adam. What happened? Adamic authority. Adam had access to the presence. You know, the realm of the spirit is organized and judicial. It operates by laws, and God is guided by those laws. He says, Satan, where are you coming from? From moving to and fro the earth, he says. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Oh, have you set your soul? So God wasn't bringing up what was not in Satan's mind. He has seen Satan's attempt, and he had noticed the breach that Job had created to his confession. He says, I was not in safety and I was not quiet about it. But that is a lie. Satan gave a confession that God had made an edge round about Job. But what did Job say? He said, I'm not safe. I'm not safe. There's an opening somewhere. He said, that which I greatly feared had come upon me. The configuration of his soul and the confession of his mouth created the opening. Job does not have the book of Job to read. We have it to read. Amen. Who understand what I just said?
Yes,
have you considered my servant Job? He said, well, he has opened the door for you. Only don't touch his life. I'm using my sovereignty to endorse that one. Did you get that? Adamic authority. But see, the cup of blessing, this ransom, this blood, the cup of blessing that will bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Meaning, this is a testimony of our common union with him. This is a testimony that we have broken into that exclusive circle of the God. What did he say in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4? He says, we are partakers. He said, by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So we are now partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. We have come into common union with the Christos. That is what we have in the gospel. Meaning, there's nothing that is too big for the believer. No, there's nothing too big, irrespective of your background. The blood has broken you out of the background. That's what he's saying. The blood has brought us into common union. He says, they put it back again. He said, the bread that we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We have come into fellowship with the Godhead. Remember First John chapter 1? He said, truly our fellowship. Our fellowship. Our comradeship. Can you get this? Can you catch this? I know it's too big for the mind, but can you open your spirit to catch this? He said, truly our fellowship is with the Father. Is with the Father. Is with the Father. And with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our communion. Our common union. Our common. Why the blood? Why the blood? Why our perfect redemption to his blood? Why sin that separated men from God has been removed? Are you here? Listen, Satan's entry point into any life, any family, any territory can only be through sin and the consciousness of sin. That's the only entry. Once that door is shut, he can't come in. He can't. The door of sin is shut by faith in Jesus Christ. The door of the consciousness of sin is shut by the revelation of what he did. That progressive revelation and awareness of what he has done. We break the power of sin vitally and remove the consciousness of sin. Because Hebrew talks about the consciousness of sin. You know, when he was talking about the sacrifice in the old covenant, okay, through the atonement by the high priest in the Levitical priesthood, he mentioned it. He said, this sacrifice is not able to take away the consciousness of sin. The consciousness of sin. That means a believer can still have the consciousness of sin, and Satan will use it to defeat you. But the more you see to the gospel, oh, are you here?
Yes,
sir. The more you see to the gospel, Oh, Paul says, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. To be found in him. That means any Christian that is still claiming his own righteousness has not entered this thing. He hasn't. Your eyes are still on your human ability. But the Bible says, we are of the circumcision, like a pyre. Oh, that worship God in spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You already please God. So what you are trying to do, okay, the good things, living right is no longer an attempt to please God. No. It's an attempt to demonstrate your love. Is a response. Just like a lady that is so loved by a man. Everything she's doing now is not to gain the man's approval. No, the man has fallen in love with her. She's just responding. Did you get that? And God's love is more perfect than the best of human love. What he's saying is he has demonstrated his love towards us. That now we have his approval. Now we are approved. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. Say, I'm accepted in the beloved. Your works does not bring you your acceptance. No, the blood of Jesus. He said, I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. You didn't provide the ransom. No, he bruised him for our sake. He made his soul an offering for sin. He said, in him now we have redemption to his blood, even the offenses of sins. The power of sin is broken. And over your mind, let it be broken. Are you here? We have fellowship with him. Even when you make mistakes, listen, you see, God does not relate with you from a position of guilt and condemnation. When you feel guilt and condemnation, that's Satan's ministry. What does God do? He purges you. How does God purify his bride? By the washing of water by the word. He said, you are cleansed through the word that I speak to you. That means we break sinful habits by hearing his word. Oh, is somebody here? By hearing him talk. Are you here? Glory to God. That means even when you make, give me John, 1 John chapter 2, very quickly. He said, I write to you little children that you sin not. That means sin is not compulsory, but as a provision even when you make mistakes. Are you here? Put it up for me. He says, I write unto you, 1 John. He said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Lo geba, we have a family lawyer. That's what he's saying. Woo! On the side of the Father. That's what he's saying. He said, my little children, I write these things to you that you sin not. That means the more you give attention to this word, the less you will sin. He said, but as you are getting matured, when you fall into temptation, you make mistakes, don't worry. We have a family lawyer. We have an advocate with the Father. We have a ransom. Glory to God. Woo! He says, I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. He said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Next verse. So I say, he's talking about those who are in the world. No. The context is talking to believers. He said, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Remember, when he's talking about sin as a nature, he uses singular. When he's talking about sin as an act, he uses plural. So he's talking about the mistakes that believers made. He said, he is the propitiation, the ransom. Are you here? The makeup for our sins. And then he added, and not for us, not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is why we can plead mercy over a land. We have an advocate. We have a propitiation for our sins. Any other thing you hold on to apart from this is self-righteousness. And the Bible says, like filthy rags, it cannot take you far. We have a propitiation. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God forevermore. Are you seeing this? Paul preached this. Paul preached this. Kai, 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 kai. Paul preached this. Lesuka baratoskepa. Acts 13, 38 to 41. Let me just start from 13. Let me just show you quickly, and then we'll close for service. We go deeper in the second service. In him we have redemption. In him we have our ransom. We have our ransom. We're talking about what we have in the gospel. Ransom. Forgiveness. And I tell you, forgiveness doesn't mean I'm forgiving you, but I'll never forget what you did to me. You see, you don't define terms using human understanding. When you see terms in scriptures, look for their meaning. If I'm in the kingdom, it separates the men from the boys. They say righteousness. He said, I'm a preacher of righteousness. What is he saying? He's a preacher of right living. That is not Bible definition of righteousness. Amen. Organically in the New Testament, that's not it all. Even in the Old Testament, we can prove it to you here and there. What did David say? The Bible said David saw the blessedness of a man unto whom God did not impute sin. He began by saying the blessedness of a man whose sins are covered. Then he talked about the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Ah! Go and read Romans 4. He said, what is it that Abraham our father has found as pertaining to the flesh? That he was justified by his works? He said, no, not before God. Guy, Liga Baratosa. In him we have redemption. In him we have a ransom, a perfect sacrifice for sin. Listen, when you see, typical African politician does not depend on your votes to win an election. Are you aware of that? Have you ever thought about it? A man who left 4 years ago, who did nothing, he's coming back for you to vote for him with boldness. Have you ever thought about it? So you are really thinking he's trusting in your vote? No. He's campaigning to fulfill all righteousness. His trust is in something. They understand the way of blood. His confidence is in something. So he comes and he's talking. You did nothing, okay? But with boldness, say, give me another chance. Ah! With boldness. What is the root of the boldness? Blood is an atonement for the soul. Some of them go as far as human sacrifice. It's not news that people disappear in this country during election. Amen. I'm not just saying it. It's not from my mouth you're hearing it. Amen. So what do you think happens? There's a level of innocence in a blood. Can I enter into this? There's a level of innocence in the blood. And so what happens is, when they stand with that sacrifice made on their behalf, they believe that the innocence of that child, of the blood of that child, is upon them. When you see them, you are seeing the innocence of the blood that was shed. So I wonder, okay, let's just give him a chance. You know, this country, the devil you know is, you start making excuses. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. You are talking nonsense. What happened? Blood is having impact on your mind. The same way, we have a blood. Oh, the Bible says we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens with his blood in the heavenly holy of holies. God sees me through that blood. God sees you through that blood. And the world sees you through that blood. When you can have faith in that sacrifice and you stand before men, they see the innocence of Jesus. They see the innocence of that blood, of the everlasting covenant upon you. When you go for a contract, go for a business, go to bid for something, context for an election, and you have faith in this blood of the common union, what men see is that innocence. Just how many believers don't understand this. They are just hanging around church. That's why they have to go and see Babalawo. I've told you, that's the most stupid thing you can do. You are the Utumokbo. I told you last week. It's just ignorance. We have a better blood speaking for us. They did not start rituals in Africa. Or God started it. Blood sacrifice did not start here. God started it. The Bible says the lamb was slain from where? the foundations. That means God spilled blood from the foundations of the earth. Oh, are you with me? And then Jesus insisted that even as I'm going to keep drinking blood and eating my flesh. He said, do this as often. It's like servicing an altar. This is why we take communion. Somebody that is a New Testament person, that communion was just symbolic. Jesus has died, that's all. You don't know what you are saying. You know, when young people are just talking and shouting, you give them time. You give them time. When the vicissitudes of life come, they will say, hey, sir, what were you saying that time that I was not listening? No, I did a post one day. One guy was just running his mouth. I said, foolish young man. I was so angry. I don't usually. I said, foolish young man. I said, life will start teaching you a lesson. He now say, Abba, that we are Christian. I said, you didn't know you are not supposed to misbehave in the first place. So what do you know? A young man in your early 20s, and then you are very, if you have position with doctrine, be respectful. Not shouting like you know everything. When did you start preaching? People that started preaching before you were born, when you were sucking breast, you are now arguing disrespectfully. Glory to God. We have a speaking blood. We have a rise to your feet. Oh, in Him we have redemption. In Him, are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed in this first service? In Him we have redemption. Oh, in Him we have redemption. In Him we have redemption. Even the offenses of sins, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Lero seba la tele de gorabasa, liga sobranda kizoshtapaya. Inalaboso da gabananane. Just lift your hands toward heaven and just bless the name of the Lord. Oh, the leaders, legro sister. You now see that the blood is your qualification. You now see that the blood is your qualification. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You were joking before. Now you are going to pray. You just have 2 minutes to pray. Amen. You know, Paul's prayers were around the opening of eyes. How many of you have noticed? What we call the Pauline prayers. You see in Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, amen. You see there, the opening of your eyes, the revelation, insight into mysteries and secrets of the kingdom. Those are the Pauline prayers. You know why? In the realm of your spirit, your sight is your greatest advantage. If you can see it, it's yours. If you can see it. So revelation, you know, Africans prefer to do fall down and die. When you tell them, pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you come into revelation, that you come into the knowledge, intimate knowledge of the deep mysteries of God. When you say, now pray, every enemy pursuing your father's house. Hey! You see people shaking. That shows you are laughing, but seriously speaking, you are going to be a very low life average person if that's your attitude to prayer. Amen. Now, when you look at the Pauline prayer or Pauline epistle, the prayers you should pray passionately are prayers for revelation, prayers for your eyes to be opened, prayers for you to be catapulted into the experience of what Jesus did for you. Are you here? Those are the prayers you should pray with passion. Amen. We are going to pray. Lord, my eyes are open. Zila Cobra, to see this gospel in a way I've never seen it before. In the name of Jesus, don't let it be abstract. I've explained some things to you. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. Lako Zila, Zabris Kapana, Liro Sibanele, Liko Rasila, Shalidos Kaprona. Hey, Shakapato Koprakapato Shakaprakapato Suka. Likapato Sikapurakapato Shakaprakapatosa.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.